Avalon Park Ice Arena. It is our post-game show as the Wausau West Hockey Showcase, brought to you by Goldline Golf and Hockey, also Car Smart and El Tequila Salsa. First game, the Warriors knock off the Eau Claire Memorial Old Abes by a score of 3-0. We will have our interview with Coach B.J. Brandt coming up, but first let's look at the numbers of this one. 3 goals. Low-scoring affair, but in the end, the Warriors get all the goals. First one just 33 seconds in. Lighting the lamp was Owen Pergalski with an assist to Chase Kras. Again, 33 seconds in, and the Warriors had a 1-0 lead. That would be the score at... Warriors would make it 2-0 at 9:08 of the first period. Joe Gravine took a shot from the right point, was deflected home. Hendrix Damro and Kay Damro with the assist to make it 2-0. And then the Warriors would finish the scoring at 2:18 of the third. It was Kay Damro with the goal and Caden Boleyn with the assist. 3-0 for the night. 33 shots on net for the Apes. 33 saves for Julian Scalcucci. 22 shots for the Warriors and 19 saves for Evan Mattson. And the Warriors win it 3-0. Joined by Coach B.J. Brandt, and you said in the pregame show that the first time you played, you were shorthanded a long time. That was nothing. But what can you say? I mean, I can't remember seeing 7 minutes on a scoreboard.
I mean, when there's 13 minutes left in the period, Chad, and we have to kill more than half of it. But you know what? We did.
And the thing about that was they didn't get many good chances at all in 7 minutes.
No, our guys take some pride in that, and they did. And we went deep. We had guys killing that don't normally kill, and they did a great job. I mean, and that was a little microcosm, a little microcosm of the game.
Yes, it was.
But you look at the way we started. We had one shot, one goal.
Yes,
and then we
did.
Didn't have a shot for a few minutes.
Yep.
But at no point did I feel like we weren't playing well.
Right.
We just weren't taking pucks to the net. And then you look at Joe shoots that puck, they tip it in. You know, and then yep. We come out in the third and get a goal early. Like, you had to get one because three feels better than two.
Yep.
So we just got to – I really like the effort. The effort was there, mm-hmm. and I hope they're starting to believe a little bit in what we can be.
Absolutely, and you finished the shutout tonight, and Julian had another fantastic game. I mean, he made some saves when you needed those saves made. Obviously, in a low-scoring affair, they're all big, but he was just, again, rock solid here tonight.
He was outstanding. I mean, I think we're all a little snake bit after last night, so to get him this shutout tonight, and for him to earn it, I mean, he had to earn it. 7 and 10 were driving like no other, and they were trying to score, and credit to our defensemen. Mm-hmm. You know, we were a little shorthanded tonight without Drake, and hopefully he gets on the mend here soon. And we just it was an overall really good team win. It had some weird flows. So, like, when as a coach, sometimes a manage that's a little bit different. And some guys were in, some guys were out. It's a funky game, but it was really nice for our guys to finish it.
Frankly, this game kind of felt – we haven't seen this in a long time where – I think good teams win these kind of games. I mean, really good teams. Sometimes, you know, you do it different ways. You have timely scoring. You have to face maybe a couple of guys where you're able to slow them down because the defense is doing well. The goaltending is doing well. It takes a team that has good stuff at every level. And right now it feels like you do. You have the forwards that are able to make things happen. You have the defenders right now that are playing some solid hockey. And then you got a goaltender that can stop almost anything.
Yeah, I mean, to beat Eau Claire Memorial, you got to play a complete game.
Yep.
And it started early. Like, it was nice to see our guys start fast against a good opponent.
Yeah.
I didn't like all the third period penalties, but it's what we were and what we did. And you know, I didn't see Xander's penalties, so I don't even know if I can argue it. But it's one of those things where you have to rally around that. We're going to take penalties. We got to kill them, and we did a nice job with it.
And now tomorrow, again, I think I said this in the pregame, you know, you're building. And you don't want to, you know, it's like that Jenga game. You don't want to pull it out and have it all come tumbling down. You want to keep building, don't you?
We do. We do. We're going to play a good Middleton team tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And it's they're a skilled group, really skilled group. And we just got to make sure that we play well. And you know, tomorrow's going to be a day where we're going to test our depth a little bit, try to get some guys in that maybe haven't, because we need the depth right now. And we have it. So for us to go into it, I think it'll be nice.
Well, enjoy the rest of the night.
Thanks, Chad.
Head coach B.J. Brandt of the Wausau West Warriors. 3-0 Warriors over Eau Claire Memorial. And season split. Warriors And they actually outscored ECM for the two games. So good win tonight for the Warriors. 10-4, four-game win streak. And we'll be back tomorrow for the second day of this Wausau West Hockey Showcase. Warriors taking on Middleton. Middleton on the ice right now, warming up for their game against Notre Dame Academy. If you're in the neighborhood, come on by. See some really good hockey here tonight between two teams that both are hoping to try to work their way towards the state tournament. But tomorrow we'll be back. Pre-game show at 1 o'clock, the opening face-off at 1:15, Wausau West and Middleton. So again tonight, the Warriors defeat the Old Abes of Eau Claire Memorial by a score of 3-0. Thanks again to our sponsors, without whose help we could not bring you Wausau West Warrior High School Hockey here on 98.9 WXCO, and thanks to you for joining us. This has been Wausau West Hockey on 98.9 WXCO.
This has been Wausau West Warrior High School Hockey on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Wausau West Hockey has been brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Red Robin Restaurants, Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, the Wausau West Hockey Booster Club, and Coast to Coast Marketing. Thanks for joining us for Wausau West Warrior High School Hockey on your home for the Warriors, 98.9 WXCO.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, before we get going here and have our guest, Robert Lilligren, on, why don't we take a quick weekly update from the governor of the great state of Wisconsin, Governor Tony Evers. Let's take a listen.
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. Over the past few years, I proposed legislation to expand badger care, legalize marijuana, restore Roe v. Wade, and defend reproductive freedom, enact common sense gun safety reform, expand paid family leave, create a nonpartisan redistricting process, and among so many other proposals that we know a majority of Wisconsinites support, because I believe the will of the people should be the law of the land. Unfortunately, even though these common sense policies have broad public support from Wisconsinites, Republican lawmakers have repeatedly obstructed our efforts and ignored the will of the people. Unlike over 20 other states, in Wisconsin, only the legislature can approve and place ballot questions on the ballot, leaving Wisconsinites little recourse when the legislature fails to enact policies that have broad public support. Republican lawmakers shouldn't be able to ignore the will of the people and then prevent the people from having a voice when the legislators fail to listen. That has to change. So this week I announced I am including a provision in my budget to require the legislature to allow Wisconsinites to pass binding referenda and enact statutory and constitutional changes through a majority vote at the ballot box. I believe you should have a say and a voice in our state laws and the questions that appear on your ballot. If Republican lawmakers are going to continue to try and legislate by constitutional amendment, then they should give Wisconsinites the same opportunity. It's that simple. And that's what we'll be asking Republicans to do in my next budget. Let's get to work and let's get it done, folks. Thank you.
Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Hey, a big peeny geeky for that update. Hey, I want to bring our friend Robert Lilligren on, president and CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. Great to see you, Robert. We had a couple weeks off, and we're celebrating our 9th season now, and you have been a super-duper big part of this, and we wanted to say a big peeny geeky and congratulations and help us with this 9th year coming up. Oh, wow.
Yeah, very great news. And congratulations to you, Buju Haley, Buju Robert. 9 seasons, that's huge. Time flies.
Yeah, I was a young guy badgering you to try and get you on the show years ago.
Well, it's a little bit of a stretch to call you a young guy, but you weren't the distinguished elder that you are now.
Yeah. Good one, Robert.
Yes, easy there, Haley. Well, we had a long break, and there's some congratulations to you and your husband. You're celebrating, what was it, 10 years?
10 years of legal marriage.
Well, congratulations. That's a huge deal, and that's just awesome. We took a couple weeks off, and it was good, and now I feel like we're back at it, and, you know, Canada's going to become the United part of the United States, and then we're going to...
Or Minnesota could become part of Canada, right? That's what the Premier of Ontario suggested.
Well, that's great.
Alaska and Minnesota, right.
Well, we got the accent, you hoser. Isn't that... remember those guys?
Oh, yeah.
From Second City Television?
Yep. Yeah, Stephen Colbert made that point last night on his show, if you were watching. He said that the U.S. already had a Canada. It's Minnesota, right?
Which is pretty darn true, because I think there's a Trivia Pursuit question. Is there's a bunch of cities they mention, and one's Montreal, which is the most northern big city, and it's the Twin Cities, because we're on a sphere. We're on a sphere, as some people think we're on a flat plane, but we're on a sphere.
Yep. So yeah, lots have happened during this break. Lots going on. You know, the new year, new administration coming in, both in the president's administration, but also in the state of Minnesota, and it's kind of a bumpy landing into the new legislative session here. And I was just on a big meeting with a regional partnership that our organization, NACD, Native American Community Development Institute, is part of. It's called the Good Relatives Collaborative. It's a very enlightened effort funded by the Bush Foundation, which is active in this region. And a few years back, Bush became aware of the fact that they were only qualified to be granting dollars to Native organizations and tribes, and so they built infrastructure so that it's Native people that are making the decisions on their grant giving in Indian country. And so NACD is part of this collaborative, and it's just fascinating. But you know, it's the first time we've met this year. We went around and talked about how we're feeling about 2025 and sort of what's the best thing that's happened to us yet. And mine was, and this is very much surprised me, is the positivity around me, that people are determined to be sort of happy or joyful or enter into this kind of unknown territory, I guess they meant unknown, but this return of the Trump administration in a positive frame of mind. And it's, for me, it's just been really apparent. And I got to say, it's really empowering.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think after taking a few weeks off, for us, it's taking a deep breath and moving forward and getting those resist shirts out again, our Native Roots Radio resist shirts.
That is just it. That's, I've been saying that a lot. That's going to be the theme of the next 4 years, right? Resistance. And we are very fortunate to be Native, and we're the resistance people, right? So this is not going to be unfamiliar to us or to a lot of our BIPOC allies, but it is going to be different for some people, right? Mm-hmm. So I think this is an opportunity to lift up Native strategies and life ways that support resistance and resilience. Mm-hmm. And that gives me some hope. I think Native people, and especially younger leadership, as we talk about all the time, and younger people can kind of step up and show a lot of us the way through these next few years.
Absolutely. That's always a great point. And, we're really, the theme too has been that we're really proud of this next generation coming up. And I know you and I have been talking about that for a long time, but it's apparent we've had a couple generations that have lost the language, lost our way in a big sense. And from boarding school and all these colonization acts and the young ones are picking up the mantle, and we're here to support. I know you and Native American Community Development Institute is a big support of our young ones and our people that are wanting to run for office and all those things.
Yeah, and thank you for that recognition. I know you are, a lot of us share that. And you know, with the disruption of the cultural genocide, the actual genocide, the boarding schools, which are actually concentration camps, right, where Native kids were kidnapped and forced to assimilate. And it seems so bleak, right, that seemed like there was such a divide. And it really wasn't that long ago. And so it's so encouraging to see generations coming up that are restoring that disruption.
Hey, we're still here, you know, and we are the seventh generation. And we're with Robert Lilligren, and we're going to take a quick break. Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute, and our White Earth Ojibwe relative. We'll be right back.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
This is Chad, owner of AM950 for Snap Construction again. Does your home feel colder than it should with the furnace constantly running? Or do certain rooms always feel colder than the rest of the house? Those are signs the attic in your home may need an insulation upgrade. Snap Construction can help by providing a free energy audit for your home's insulation. The average cost of getting new insulation can cost much less than a new furnace. Plus, Snap Construction is a BPI certified installer. That means if you use Snap for your next insulation project, you qualify for up to $650 in total rebates from your energy provider. After my free inspection, my insulation upgrade was completed within a few weeks and the rebate check was in the mail. Snap to it and reduce your heating bill this winter with Snap Construction. Call 612-333-SNAP, that's 612-333-SNAP, for your free energy audit when you mention AM950. Snap Construction, arguably the most well-reviewed exterior contractor and insulation company in the metro.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, a lot going on, but Robert, I want to give the Navajo Nation a big shout out to, they are, there's a crew from Navajo Nation, the Navajo Scouts Fire Attack Crews in California helping our relatives, and we got to give a big shout out to them and prayers to our friends and relatives in California.
Oh, yeah, it's such a disaster, and in such a populated area, very high profile, right? A lot of high profile people and high wealth people, and we'll see what happens. And the environmental conditions have just been so devastating, 100 mile an hour winds spreading fires faster than anyone can really respond. And so we'll see. And I was thinking earlier today, you know, this is a huge cost, right? I mean, it's a huge cost in property. It's cost in lives already. I'm sure there'll be more. And so you hear these arguments against efforts to Green New Deal. And because it's too expensive, to shift to renewable energies. And it's like, compared to what? Compared to the costs, the human costs, the property costs of a fire like this. So you'd hope it would be a wake-up call, but we shall see.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, here in Minnesota, it's snowing today, but we have had a little bit of snow and it's been super mild. And, you know, that's, I mean, I'm sorry to say, but, you know, climate change.
Right. And in Minnesota, where there's an economy based on this weather, right? There's skiing, sledding, all kinds of winter activities. And, you know, major events are being canceled because of lack of snow. And so how do we retool our economies, our small business people, support small business people who may need to adapt to different weather? And so, yeah. So, and with the new administration coming in D.C., you know, I think that we'll see. I was just reading stories. There's an effort in Oklahoma to bar any kind of alternative fuel sources. You know, there's such an emphasis on petroleum and drilling with the thinking of the Trump administration and his cronies. And just when it feels like we're making a little progress towards diversifying fuel sources and addressing climate change, it feels like we go backward.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, as you said earlier, we're resisting, and we resisted in the first round of this. And I believe, you know, we're used to it. We're going to be ready. And thank goodness we live in Minnesota, too, and have a great attorney general. He's beefing up laws and things like that to keep our safety and our way of life in a good way.
Agree. We're very fortunate to be here, to have the kind of progressive governance we have. The legislature is getting a little funky right now, so we'll see how that plays out. But our governor, our Ojibwe lieutenant governor, and others, and I'm guessing, because they're already in it, but we'll see some population migration from some of these desperately conservative states of people who just want their freedoms, right? And so we are, you know, population ebb and flow is a huge deal, and there's been such a migration towards the Sunshine States, but now Sunshine States are burning or don't have any water or are flooding completely. They're not quite as appealing, you know. And so we'll see what happens. But I think interesting things are going to happen to the populations of states like Minnesota, Wisconsin in the next few years.
Well, I know there was a pretty big influx of people that moved to Duluth from all over the country, especially when Roe was overturned and our transgender relatives. A lot of people moved to Duluth and the Twin Cities, and that's a kind of a known fact, and that's really interesting.
Yep, I think we'll see more of that kind of population movement. And then there are other things here, right? We have water. And there's issues of surface water. There's protecting the water. There was a great win for the Native community this week here in the state of Minnesota. But there's things here that we might not have thought of as being such assets, but that are all of a sudden looking a lot more attractive.
Yeah, definitely. And I know in years past we've talked about people like Nestle coming up and bringing their trucks up and sucking water out of the river and out of Lake Superior. And so you're absolutely right. The next battle is going to be water.
Oh, yeah. Back in my days on the Minneapolis City Council, the I think it was called the Great Lakes Compact was being finalized. And so it's two countries, of course, U.S. and Canada. And then the multiple states across the Great Lakes, and it was kind of carving up who controls what within that. And I thought, oh, that's really fascinating. And you can see how, even back then, you could see how it was going to be one of the debates of the future. And so I kind of learned a little about water policy and the water practices. And, of course, a lot of it's from the Southwest. That kind of was the trailblazer because water's scarce and a lot of demand and huge population growth and agriculture. But the Minnesota controls considerable water rights of Lake Superior, and there's already been talk about building water pipelines, right, to siphon water off of Lake Superior, Gichimanadu, to the Southwest. It's like, oh, sorry, it's ours.
Well, don't build your house in a desert. And I mean, Las Vegas, California, I mean, right. there's things that they're going to have to move and instead of us piping up. That makes no sense. But yeah, that's scary.
It's very scary. And flabbergasting and flabbergasted by the population growth in the Southwest, right? And like the LA area, the area that's burning right now, was mm-hmm. incredibly fertile soil that had no water. And right. so the early developers there figured out how to siphon all the water in the Southwest to support agriculture in Southern Cal, in the LA area. And then the population grew. And so then it had to be, water had to be siphoned off to support population growth and green lawns and golf courses. And that just wasn't practical. And now we're seeing right now, today in real time, seeing how foolish some of that, those decisions were.
Right. What that has a lot to do with the Colorado River too, right?
Oh yeah.
Drying up.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's where that was the main source. And so the Colorado mm-hmm. is drying up and it's so many people have a part of that, right? And so many people mm-hmm. control those water rights. Of course, it's, you know, the water is our relative and nobody really owns it. And mm-hmm. we haven't treated her very well, especially in the Southwest. And so now the water, the earth are making that clear.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, we have a lot of groups here. You know, there's a lot of things happening, especially like I just want to change tune here just a second sure. and talk a little bit about the group that helped out the encampment and brought them to Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center to our relatives. That was devastating. But yet we have a Native American group step up and really help out, a couple of them. And it does take a community. And so I just want to give them a shout out. And I know you're right in the middle of that over there in Minneapolis.
Well, yeah, and so we've had a growing issue with our unsheltered relatives, our unhoused relatives, and encampments growing for, and it's been around for decades, right? But over the last 5 or 6 years, there's this so much more high profile, in large part because of our relatives who occupied the Wall of Forgotten Natives, a mm-hmm. large homeless encampment back in 2018 now, mm-hmm. And there's been just this week 4 fires in these encampments here in Minneapolis. And so Minnesota Indian Men's Resource Center, amongst other Native orgs here, stepped up and responded. And that's what we do, right? We take care of our relatives and we've been taking mm-hmm. care of them. And towards the end of last year, we kind of got fed up with the lack of inaction and collaboration and systemic change with our public sector partners, our city government, county government, regional government, state government. And through our leadership organization here called Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors, or MUD, we communicated that outward to these public sector partners, the leadership, right? And said, you know, we're not going to sit quietly anymore. We're going to hold you accountable. We need you to step in. We're the ones doing this effort. We don't have the resources. And so we need to engage you in a different kind of conversation. And so just this week, on Tuesday, the meeting that was held to follow up with this letter, which got a ton of response. This happened at the Minneapolis American Indian Center. There were, I'd say, close to 100 people present, elected officials, agency leads at all levels of government. And our request was, you step in and you have a different conversation and we can support you. You know, in our region, a Native person is 37 times more likely to live to live unsheltered. So we can lead you, but we don't have the resources. And so we're putting a very deliberate strategy together to bring the jurisdictions and resource holders together to build a better system. And it was really an empowering meeting, exhausting, but empowering.
Wow. And there you go. There you have it, Robert. Hey, next segment, love to talk about what's happening.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. CBS News Brief. After seeing block after block of fire-ravaged homes in the Pacific Palisades area of Los Angeles, a good story comes from Chris Clinton, who saved his mother's house.
We were using coolers and using buckets and using our hand. You know, we started getting pumps up. Some people donated some stuff to us.
At least 10 people have died in the L.A. area wildfires. The U.S. economy created 256,000 jobs in December, a report that surprised analysts and pleased outgoing President Biden.
I believe the economy I'm leaving is the best in the world and stronger than ever for all Americans. So I think that's what we have. We'll see what the next president does.
A winter storm that has been moving across the South could now drop up to 8 inches of snow in portions of Tennessee, according to State Emergency Management Director Patrick Sheehan.
Travel safely if you have to be out and about, and give lots of room to our dedicated TDOT employees who are out there making our roadways open and safe.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks are on the road. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks are in Orlando tonight to take on the Magic. Then on Sunday in New York against the Knicks, Giannis Antetokounmpo leads the Eastern Conference with the highest average of points scored per game. Afterwards, you'll find Giannis every night sitting in front of his locker with ice bags on his knees and feet and a timer set for 20 minutes.
Except one. He's not going to be mad at me. Except one that Brooke took. I didn't like that one. But overall, I feel like we're playing good basketball. We're finding open guys. And when we do that, we're very, very, very hard to beat.
NFL, the Packers in Philly Sunday to take on the Eagles. So how do you stop running back Saquon Barkley, who has rushed for over 2,000 yards this season?
He does a great job with vision to get guys, you know, peeking in gaps they're not supposed to be and exploit that. And when he does, you know, get into, you know, open space, he can make a guy miss and take it to the house.
That's Packers defensive lineman Kenny Clark. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. After meeting on the set of School of Rock over two decades ago, two students are tying the knot. When they were just 10 years old, Angelo Massagli, also referred to as Tough Guy in the film, and Caitlin Hale, a.k.a. Blondie, met while auditioning for the Jack Black film. The child actors connected again in 2018. By then, they had both left acting behind. Massagli is a lawyer, and Hale is now an OBGYN sonographer. The paths we take. Zombie and or Cillian Murphy fans might be upset to know that the actor will not appear in the film 28 years later. There was speculation Cillian's character Jim might be in the new installment when a preview dropped with a zombie that had striking similarities to Murphy. The Oscar-winning Oppenheimer star confirmed he is not in the new film, but is open to appearing in future 28-day films. This third installment is actually the first film in a new trilogy. 28 years later opens in June of this year. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight, a low in the low teens. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy, snow developing by night, highs to the mid-20s. An inch or two of snow into Sunday. Snow tapering by afternoon, high upper 20s. Colder for Monday and Tuesday. It's 24 right now.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I drew my brother's name one year, and we went to the mall, and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, we'll talk to Judge Susan Crawford, candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court, on defending a progressive seat against Scott Walker's attorney general.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Anin. I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we're here with our friend Robert Lilligren, President and CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis. Great to have you on. A lot going on. Looking forward to what's happening with Native American Community Development Institute this year. What do we have cooking in the next year? And I know we have a lot of things happening in the gallery and just a lot of cool things. And we
there
always have
is, and we appreciate your support and the promotion of the current show at All My Relations Arts Gallery, Everyone Dances, how it's translated, curated by Josie Hoffman. That's closing soon by the end of this month. And so it's a great exhibit. If you haven't seen it, I'd really encourage you to attend. And there's been a lot of community programming around this show, so there isn't going to be a huge sort of send-off as we close it. But again, I encourage you to come and see it. And then at the end, towards the end of February, we'll be debuting a show by artist Rory Wakeemup, who is a former All My Relations Arts Gallery director, and he is very much an activist artist, and especially around environmental issues. And this is a sort of Star Wars-based kind of work that he's has had a through line through his artist career for maybe the last decade or more. And that's going to be stunning, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. That's really exciting to hear.
Right. And there's just a lot of stuff going on. You know, we take a little breather right towards the end of the year. But our Four Sisters Urban Farm is expanding both in its physical footprint, but also in its influence and activities. And we are really establishing a medicine garden down at our Four Sisters Urban Farm. This year, it's a partnership with our county here, Hennepin County, and they're supporting it very generously, and I appreciate that. And they're letting sort of the Native voices lead, and so that's going to be big. We're starting our entrepreneurial training for our Four Sisters Farmers Market vendors and beyond, and it's not just limited to Native people, but if people want to go to the NACDI website or NACDI or Four Sisters Farmers Market Facebook page, there will accept people until it's full, right? And so so that's going on as we prepare. And then in Minneapolis, we have municipal elections this year. There's a stretch where we have elections every year for 7 years. And I think we're now on the fourth year of that. And so although it's at a very different scale of than a national election, these local elections are important, right? And these are some of the decisions that impact our communities the most directly. And so putting strategies together and to engage Native folks and our allies in promoting our issues here at the municipal level. And as we know, local elections matter, right? Congratulations, Robert, as a Ramsey County resident on having your first ever Native person serve on the Ramsey County Commission.
Yeah, that is just awesome.
Yeah, she was just sworn in, Commissioner Miller.
Kelly Miller.
Kelly is good people, and it was great. And congratulations. That's huge.
Yeah, and that kind of access. I was actually in communication with one of my Metropolitan Council colleagues. I serve on our regional government, the Metropolitan Council now. And she was asking why there's so much sort of going on with Native communities in Minneapolis and Hennepin County and through the Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors, and we're not seeing that in other communities. And some of that has to do with the access that we've had, right? And we have very formally defined relationships between local government and the local Native community here. And I'm very excited to see what Commissioner Kelly Miller in Ramsey County can do to promote sort of that kind of relationship building between Ramsey County government and our Ramsey County Native relatives.
Yeah, really exciting. And now, what are you going to be up to? I know we jokingly talk about this, but we're getting up in that age, and we need to find our people to take over for us. And I know you're in 16, 17 groups that are representing Native Americans, and you know, a big deal. It's really a big deal, and I know I'm involved with the Met Council, and I know you are really involved with the Met Council. And these are really good things that we normally aren't involved in.
Right. And so thanks for that. Thanks for your service. And I intend to put some energy toward trying to build out this new, whatever it'll be, collaborative unit of multi-jurisdictional government to support our unsheltered relatives and our relatives who are living in opioid use. And like I said earlier, a Native person is 37 times more likely to be unsheltered in our region than a white person. And a Native person is 33 times more likely to die from an opioid overdose. And so when you see those disparate impacts, and to me, that's where you put your resources, right? You can make the most progress toward creating a more equitable region by putting your resources where the need is greatest and engaging the voices of those most impacted. And so following this meeting that I was talking about today, we're already putting that, working to put that together. And it's been a little disappointing to see how little progress we've actually made since the Wall of Forgotten Natives in 2018. And, you know, I give credit where credit's due. The city's trying to do its work. The counties are trying to do their work. The region and the state, and they're improving how they do things internally. But there just isn't the cross-jurisdictional collaboration that we need. And we need to step in. And my big point at this huge, this large multi-jurisdictional meeting on Tuesday was it's a leadership thing at this point. Leadership needs to step in and prioritize Native people. And as we said at this meeting, we just don't feel like we're important to anyone. Mm. And we're nobody's priority. And I think I might have got a little hot-headed and said something like, you know, this is the continuation of genocide. This is what genocidal strategies look like in the 21st century, right? Our people are dying at frightening numbers because they're living without shelter and they're living without support through opioid use. And so we need to do things differently. And at this point, so few leadership in the non-Native world are willing to step into that conversation because it's going to cost us something to do it. And I make the argument that if we just better collaborated, combined, and leveraged the resources we're spending to respond to all this, and whether it's putting out fires in encampments or dealing with the issues of opioid addiction or others, if we just better collaborated and leveraged those resources, we'd actually be making measurable progress that we could mm-hmm. see. But since each area is working independently, we're just burning resources off. It's kind of like talking about the investing in addressing climate change. Yes, yeah. It's expensive, but the cost is great. If you don't do it, it's kind of the same here. Yes, it's expensive, but the cost is great. And really, some incredible direction comes from the Native community. We've been engaging in a very formal way in creating strategies for short-term, mid-term, long-term solutions. And I think the whole system would benefit from listening to us.
Yeah, definitely. And Haley, you were talking about an article that came up, and I don't know if you wanted to mention that real quick, because that is really what Robert's talking about.
Yeah, this was really disappointing to see. Indigenous.tv is great about putting stuff out like this on Instagram. We were talking about the wildfires in California, and Fox News reporter Jesse Waters is blaming Indians, quote, for the spread of wildfires. And I'm assuming this, I've heard a lot about activists and Native communities out there breaking down the dams and freeing the rivers again on tribal lands and ancestral territory. And he pretty much is blaming the Indians, quote, for the lack of water resources needed to put out the wildfires.
Right, that indigenous food sources were prioritized. I've heard a couple different versions of this story as well. You know, that it was for, but it was the reservoirs were drained to allow for indigenous fishing and things like that. And that's not a fact, right? The reservoirs weren't drained for any reason. They were drained because firefighters were using so much water to combat the fires, and then people lower ground were taking water, and so people upper ground weren't getting it. It's really the failure of the system. But I agree with you, Haley. I saw that as well, that to see water stuff, and I just thought it was so disappointing. But we're easy targets, right? Blame the Indians.
Well, and that's what's really great about having guests like you that come on and speak the truth and knowledge, and let our allies out there and our relatives out there really know what's going on. And that's a really, you know, it's kind of a pause here about how important the things that you say on Native Roots Radio gets out there. And it's really been a great 8 years and going on 9 years now. And, you know, talking, if it was up to me and I was babbling by myself, this would not be going on for 9 years. And
I've been at a couple events just this week where people have said, oh, you're Robert Lilligren. As soon as I heard your voice, I recognized it from Native Roots Radio. I bet I had four events where I was at where people recognized me from here. And that they actually listened. So sometimes it's hard to tell if we're attracting any listeners or not, but people are listening, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate you guys and Robert and Haley, what you've done. This is no small task to be able to bring something like this together. And you really do a huge service for the community. You're everywhere in the community. You're really lifting up a lot of good work, and I give you a lot of credit for that.
Well, I appreciate it, and ditto to you. And we'll keep doing this. And thank you so much, Robert, for coming on always. And really, it means a lot to us and to our listeners, because we hear, too, about people listening and how great the guests are. So, good, big peeny gigi. We'll see you next week.
Miigwech, Gigo Wabamin.
This is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back.
A home that needs new everything, plus the kitchen sink. Life math is complicated. Affinity Plus makes it easier. With great rates on a home equity line of credit, we make tackling home projects less stressful. Visit affinityplus.org/rates to learn more today. Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union. Insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 1994, we have reconditioned donated vehicles so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526 or autotech.org.
Hi, this is Frank Brown of Minuteman Press Uptown with a question for our local small businesses. Do you want more leads, more store traffic, more customers? Thousands of local businesses, just like yours, count on Minuteman Uptown to drive sales. We make your business stand out and show out. We print everything from signage, promotions, and direct marketing We connect you to the community. Choose Minuteman Uptown because we share your values, and we are a proud union shop. Contact us today at mpuptown.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
Good howl there, Wendy. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many, many years, since she was a little wee little baby. And she is a founder of Native Roots Radio. And also, I just want to wish you a happy ninth season.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And so it was my pleasure to do that. You know, I've been watching on social media really horrific videos of the wildfires in Los Angeles right now in California. I want to give a shout out to the animal shelters out there. There's a couple of them who were able to take in animals and help people who had to flee, and for whatever reason they couldn't take their pet. So they're like, you know, hanging on to their pets. One in Palisades took over 100 animals. And so I just want to give them a shout out for that amazing, really, work. I mean, that's something else. You know, I saw a video of a man outside of his home that was literally like burning down, and the firefighters were there. Some of the firefighters were on the roof. Some of them were in the house. I don't know why they just don't let the house. I don't know. I mean, the house was just burning down, but the guy was crying because his cat was in the house.
Oh, come on.
Oh, man.
Firefighter went in and got the cat.
Oh,
and there's video of the firefighter handing the cat to the guy, and the guy is just sobbing, you know, just so happy, like literally fell to his knees and was sobbing that he had his cat with him, and the cat was okay. But you know, the fire and the flames, and you could just see the wind and all the ash and embers just flying around, and it's just unbelievable. Like, my heart goes out to these people. And there was another video too of these two people, a man and woman, and they were walking down the road with their horses. Did you see that?
Yeah.
And the wind was blowing,
it
and
was
the
so
embers.
Cloudy.
And
I'd
it
like
was...
to know what time of day that was. It looked like night.
And they were with their horses and just, you know, taking care of their animals and making sure. I mean, horses, you have to either have, you know, one of those big trailers for. I mean, these are animals that have like 1,000 pounds. Like, what do you do with it? It's not like a, like our little Wanda, we just scoop her up in our arms and take her with you. You know, these are animals that are thousands of pounds. And
Miley Cyrus, when she was in living in California a few years ago before the pandemic, and she lost all of her horses in a wildfire.
How heartbreaking. Could you imagine just feeling so hopeless and helpless?
You
can't help those animals. It's just it's really horrific. So I just want to give everyone, you know,
shout out.
And if you can, take your animals with you. Don't, you know, leave them behind. And, you know, of course, there's footage of, you know, deer running and, you know, wildlife running. A lot of the stuff that I read, you know, said the animals will just flee and run. Of course, some of them will get hurt and perish. But then what happens is they run from the wildfires and they run into areas where it's populated and people are, so then they run into problems with that, you know, so
exactly.
It's just, Yeah.
It's climate change. I mean, those 100-mile-an-hour winds. What the heck?
Santa Ana winds. Yeah. That's just fueling the fire and just literally fueling this fire that's just burning. And tomorrow, they say today and tomorrow, the winds are supposed to pick up and it's even supposed to get worse. So you'll have to watch more tonight about it. But yeah, just hope all these animals and the people, it's just, it's just horrible. Well, you know, we've come to the year's end. 2024 is gone. You know, it's
our eighth season, and now we're in our ninth season.
Wow, that's amazing.
I was a young man when we started this.
Yeah. That's amazing. I can't believe it's been that long. It's good. You're pretty popular, you guys.
Oh, Wendy, you were one of the founders.
Yeah, wow.
Remember that? Uncle Curtis.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Curtis. Dega Curtis.
David Curtis, who named me Hanaji Hihani.
He would do a prayer before every show.
Yeah. He would smudge.
And then he had a segment, too.
Yeah. Those are the good old days, you know. Those are the good old days. We used to go to Eden Prairie into the studio.
The basement.
Yeah.
Yeah, pre-pandemic.
Pre-pandemic, yeah. It's amazing how life has changed since the pandemic. But you know, every year I talk about, you know, of course, the Humane Society of the United States, and every Humane Society Legislative Fund, which is Humane Society of the United States, they come out with what is called the Humane Scorecard. Humane Scorecard.
Yeah, that's always handy.
Yeah, if people want to go on. It's the 2024 Humane Scorecard, and you could go on and see how your representatives and legislated voted on animal issues.
Yeah.
I took a quick peek. Betty McCollum is 100%. Like, she is like a champion for all animal issues, and we really need her on our side.
And a big Native, proponent, which really is awesome to hear, too.
Yeah, she's awesome. And anytime we call her office or ask her to sign off on humane legislation, she always does. And she's really good. You could see when you open up the scorecard, you could look at your state and see who voted for the animals and who voted against the animals. And it's really something else to just watch and look at, because you could see the people who didn't vote for any animal legislation are mostly all Republicans. And it's really sad. Yeah. Except there's one guy in Pennsylvania who's a really good champion for animals, who is a Republican. All the rest are just, you know, terrible. I hate to even ask this, because I'm going to say this to everybody. I was always a news snob. Like, I was always up on the news, watching the news, reading the paper. You know, I would open up the New York Times, the Washington Post every morning, see what was going on. Mm. Knew what was going on in our Minnesota House and legislator, and I've been, since the election, I've been like hiding under a rock, really. Been not knowing anything. So I know, like, our government in Minnesota is might lose our trifecta, right? So
Definitely. We already
we've lost it,
and then we had we're a tie in the Senate now because of the passing of one of senators.
Yeah.
And then it's up in the air because there was a Democrat that didn't live in the district that they have to redo that election. And it's a matter of when. But right now, it's not even, because it was even. And they were going to share all the chairperson's roles. But now the Republicans don't want to do that because this person, now they have the advantage.
Yeah.
So right now it's tied. You have the governor who can, you know, veto bad bills, and then the legislative part is up in the air, really.
Of
right now.
You know, every year we go for Humane Lobby Day, and, you know, even before Humane Lobby Day, and, you know, we go and we talk to our people. I think Minnesota Wolves are going to be in trouble this year.
Oh.
Yeah, just because of...
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show. Max Inc. Radio, original local music from Wisconsin, Saturday and Sunday, 6 to midnight. This weekend, we welcome brand new band Take Back the Sun, and Terry chats with Aaron Schulke about Wisconsin polka. It's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Brad Schimmel, a J6 sympathizer, and he wants to be your next Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. When he was Attorney General of Wisconsin, he spent thousands of dollars on memorial coins.
I would have been fired.
That stood
if
for
I'd done that.
Kicking ass every day. Hey, if you got to get a coin that says it, you're probably not
with
doing it.
With your face on it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Firefighters are in their fourth day of battling wildfires in Southern California that have killed at least 11 people in the Los Angeles County area. CBS News Los Angeles reporter Rena Nakano says an overnight curfew is now in effect in the evacuation areas.
Curfew means no one in, no one out, even if you are a resident, unfortunately. And this isn't to inconvenience residents. It's really to protect your homes.
After hearing oral arguments, Supreme Court justices appear likely to uphold a law that would ban TikTok in the U.S. in just 9 days. CBS's Erica Brown.
ByteDance could sell to halt the ban. A privately funded group, including Shark Tank's Kevin O'Leary, announced it wants to purchase TikTok. But ByteDance has said it will not sell.
No prison sentence for President-elect Donald Trump in his New York so-called hush money case, but the judge brands Trump a convicted felon ahead of this month's inauguration. Trump insisting,
I'm totally innocent. I did nothing wrong.
And he says he will appeal. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
I'm Brittany.